Please remain standing now for the reading of God's word. Our reflection this morning is as follows. The carnal person fears man, not God. The strong Christian fears God, not man. The weak Christian fears man too much and God too little. Today's passage deals with an interesting and rather perplexing teaching of Jesus, a proper and righteous fear of God. Please read with me now, starting in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Please be seated.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we come to your word wanting to listen today. We want to hear from you. Father, we hear many, many messages in the news, social media, all the time bombarded with words. We're here this morning, O God, to hear your word. We want to hear a word from you, O God. Speak to us, we pray, and more importantly, we ask, Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear it. We know we cannot hear in a way that's truly fruitful unless you do that work to help us. So open our ears, open our hearts today. Holy Spirit, we completely depend on you and your power and work. Show Christ. Show us his glory. As our good shepherd, the head of the household, we pray in his name. Amen. Well, to follow Jesus Christ brings many troubles in your life. The Lord Jesus knew that when he sent his disciples out to preach the kingdom, which he was doing this chapter, earlier in the chapter we heard last week from Andrew. He knew they were going to suffer, and so he warned them of the dangers that they were going to face. And he told them plainly they were going to face opposition, suffering, difficulty. We heard that last week from Andrew when he looked at verses 16 to 25. Remember, Andrew pointed out, this is going to hurt, like the doctor said to one of our youth after dislocating a kneecap. Jesus knew it was going to hurt what they were going into. And those words obviously struck fear into the disciples as they heard those words and were going to go out. They were going to be in situations where their enemies would put incredible pressure on them to renounce Jesus Christ to save their own skin. So the question is, how would those disciples find courage that they needed in the face of that fear? And Jesus spoke these words that we just heard to give them courage in the face of fear. That's why he said these things to them. And we know that because of how many times he says to them, do not fear. Did you notice that? Three different times in this passage. Verse 26, verse 28, verse 31. Notice in verse 26 what Jesus says to them. So have no fear of them. And in verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body. In verse 31, fear not, therefore. Jesus spoke these words to the apostles so that they could have courage in the midst of fear. And that wasn't only something that the apostles needed to hear, but it's something we need to hear today as followers of Jesus Christ. The question is, how will you, as a follower of Jesus Christ today, find courage in times of fear? Let's say that you have an uncle who is resistant to the gospel, but now you learn has been diagnosed with cancer, and God's laid it on your heart to share the gospel with him. But you know your uncle may be resistant to the gospel, so you feel a certain amount of fear in talking to him, and you need some courage. You may think, well, you know what, that's nothing like the courage of a martyr who's taken to the arena and fed to lions. I'm just going to talk to my uncle. Or it's nothing like the courage that a believer in North Korea faces when he's sitting in a prison cell and may be killed for his faith. And that's true. It's not the same. But you still need some courage, don't you, in times like that when you're facing an uncle or a relative or someone in your workplace that you need to talk to about Christ. You need to be an ambassador for Christ in that place. And if you aren't, then that opportunity will be lost. And so you need some courage. And that's what Jesus calls us to do, is to follow him and be his witnesses, his spokesmen, his ambassadors, wherever you are. The place where you are, the time when you live, the degree to which that's supposed to happen are all going to be specific to each one of you and me. Jesus didn't call you to North Korea right now. Jesus didn't call you to live in the first century and be thrown into the lions by the Romans. But he's called you to live here in 2022 and to be in the family that you're in and to be in the workplace where you are in the community that you are in the school, you're in the workplace, whatever it is, you're called to it by him, and it takes a certain amount of courage to follow Christ in those places and to speak for him. So where are you going to find that courage? Well, you can find it here in these words that Jesus tells the apostles before he sends them out. Notice that he gave them also a really very important foundation for these words in the previous verse, in verse 25, and I do want to call your attention to that in context because it is important. Right before these words in verse 25, notice what Jesus told his disciples. If you have your Bible with you, you can look there. It's not your worship guide, but there is a Bible in the pocket in front of you, and I would encourage you to look there at these words in 25. He told them, "It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household?" What Jesus is doing there is using a metaphor of a household to describe who he is and who they are as his disciples. He's telling them that he's the master of the household and they are people of his household, and so that's why they're going to face persecution. They belong to him. The people that are going to be against them are the people that are against him, his household. And so he's sending them out, and Jesus is the one who has all authority. God the Father has given him all authority to bring sinful people into God's household and give them eternal life. And that's an important foundation for these words we just read today, because Jesus wants his disciples to know that they are part of his household. They're his people. They're God's children. God is their Father, and he even teaches them to pray that way, right? Our Father who art in heaven. He wants to press into their hearts and minds as his people that you're my children. You're the Father's children, and you're my household. And so now, as his children in his household, he's telling them three things about the Father that should give them courage as they go out and face the fears that they'll face. And these three things I want you to notice are, first, that the Father will overcome all obstacles for them in his household. Secondly, the Father will overpower all their fears. And thirdly, that the Father will take care of them. And the same things are true of us as his people. That's why it should help us. But before I go into those three things, I want to give just a brief caution. It's the same caution that one of the Puritans, John Flavel, gave to his people when he wrote a book on fear. He gave them this word. He said to them not to think that just hearing these words once was going to really benefit them as Christians. In other words, to come and sit and hear these words of Jesus and just listen to them once today and think that these words will just give you courage by hearing them once when you're in that time of temptation and trial, don't fool yourself. We need these truths pressed into our hearts, and one thing that John Flavel says about the way to do that is it calls for some fixed meditation, he called it, which means ponder these things. Think about them. You're going to hear them today from me, from these three points. But these truths in these texts are what can bolster you and give you courage when you face those times of fear. And they need to be pressed into your heart over and over and more than just hearing it once this morning. So I encourage you to take these words, ponder these words, read through them again this afternoon, put them on your list to ponder every once in a while to bolster you so you're ready when you're in that time that your uncle needs to hear about Jesus or your father or your brother or your sister. So hear these words. And first of all, Jesus tells them that their father is going to overcome all obstacles. They're not to fear these enemies because their father will overcome the obstacles, and we see that in verses 26 and 27. Notice what Jesus tells them. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Now notice Jesus tells his disciples not to fear them. Who is the them and why are they not to fear them? Well, the them are the people, if we look in the context immediately before this and the chapters before this, we know are those who are opposing Jesus Christ and his gospel. Mainly the Pharisees. They were enemies of Jesus Christ and his gospel. They were wanting to discredit Jesus Christ and the gospel. They were wanting to stop Jesus from speaking these words of the gospel. They wanted to shut him up. And eventually we know, as we read through the gospel of Matthew, they want to kill him, to stop him. So what does Jesus tell his disciples about them? Have no fear of them. Why? Essentially, Jesus tells them, have no fear because they will not stop the gospel. They're not going to be able to stop it. Your father is going to overcome every obstacle they put in place, so don't worry about it. They won't be able to stop it. They may kill you, but they're not going to stop the gospel, so keep pressing. And notice that's what he means when he says, nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Evil men will try to cover this good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Evil men will try to hide it and squash it and stop it. But Jesus says, it won't work. What's hidden is going to be revealed. What's covered is going to be made known. As much as people try to keep Jesus Christ and his gospel hidden, they won't succeed. He's going to overcome all obstacles. It's really a similar thing to what Jesus says a few chapters later in Matthew 16 when he tells his disciples this, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, hell's defense gates that are up are not going to prevail. The gospel is going to continue to roll and crush the gates and just keep going. And that's exactly what we read happened in the book of Acts, right? Remember, the book of Acts was the early history of the church. And what does it tell us about Christ's church? It tells us a number of powerful people and movements tried to cover and stop the church. The rulers in Jerusalem, the rulers of the Jews, tried to squash the apostles when they were preaching Christ. The Roman leader, Herod, wanted to kill these apostles? The synagogue leaders and the city leaders, the mobs throughout Asia Minor and Greece were trying to squash this gospel over and over again. And what happened? It kept rolling. As much as they tried to squash it, it advanced. If they tried to stop it, it increased and spread. And we end in the book of Acts with Paul in Rome under house arrest. And we have this interesting word at the end of Acts 28. Last word in the book, actually, in the Greek text. It went forward and he preached to the Jews unhindered. In other words, it wasn't hindered by man. Man couldn't stand in the way and stop it. The gospel advanced and it will continue to advance. And so what does that mean for us as followers of Jesus today when we need courage to speak to the uncle or courage to speak to someone in the airplane or at school? It's courage in telling us, don't let the devil stop you and cover something that needs to be said. It's the devil's scheme to keep you silent. And so as a follower of Jesus Christ, you can hear these words from Jesus say, no, devil, I'm going to speak because you can't stop it. What's covered can't be hidden. Jesus tells you, have no fear of them. Keep speaking. Say in the light what they want to keep pushed in the darkness. You're Christ's servant to reveal his good news. The devil wants to cover it, but you can press on. So first, Jesus reminds them of that truth in verses 26 and 27. It will not remain hidden, so be my mouthpiece. Speak it on the housetops. Proclaim it. Put it in the light. Tell your uncle. Secondly, Jesus tells them, your father is going to overpower your fears. In other words, this fear of the Father that you rightly have, reverent fear, as my people will overpower their lesser fears of man. It's a very tricky verse, but it's in verse 28 that Jesus says these things, and in verse 32 and 33, it's a similar thing. But notice what he says to them in verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Powerful words. Notice Jesus tells his disciples what they should fear, should not fear, and what they should fear. What they should not fear is human beings. Why? Because human beings, the worst they can do to you is kill your body. That's all they can do. They can't do anything. After you're dead and you go into the grave, they have no power over you. But notice Jesus immediately tells them what they should fear, rather, is God himself, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, human beings can't harm you, but God's wrath and curse can harm. And that's something that all human beings should rightly fear. All human beings should fear the wrath and curse of God for sin. It's terrible to be under God's curse. That's why God sent his Son into the world to save and rescue us from the Father's curse for sin. God sent his Son into the world so we could run to Christ and escape God's wrath and curse. And that's exactly what these disciples had done and what you and I have done as followers of Jesus Christ. You've fled to him for escape. You've been brought into God's household because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. So why was he telling them this if they weren't to fear God's wrath and curse anymore as believers? Was he still telling them to fear the wrath and curse of God as believers? No. Not in the same way. They weren't supposed to have the same kind of fear that they had from God's wrath and curse, because that's been satisfied in Jesus Christ and what he's done, or in their case, what he was going to do on the cross. But instead, he's using here this greater fear to show and put in perspective a lesser fear. And the greater fear is something that these disciples had that was a genuine fear that we as believers have, a genuine and a proper fear of God that works differently than the fear of God's wrath and curse. It's not a slavish, servile fear that we have as Christ's people, But we have a fear that is respect and love for a father and a fear of displeasing him that's real for us as Christians. It's a fear of God that truly does cause us to fear men less because we recognize I don't want to fear or I don't want to displease my father. I now love my father, and Father, I want to do your will. And I fear displeasing you in any way. And if it's going to displease you to not speak, I need to speak. And it's the very thing that can drive us forward and help us and give us courage. You know, I know a man, a young man, from a country where the gospel is outlawed. It's outlawed to be converted to a Christian in that country. And this young man heard the good news of Jesus Christ as a young man. He grew up in a Muslim family. He bowed the knee to Jesus Christ and began to follow him. And shortly after he began to follow Christ, he read these words in Matthew chapter 10. And he read these words and thought about them, especially the words in verses 32 and 33. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Notice what Jesus is saying there. Similar thing. He's pressing on. He knows these disciples love and fear their Father and do not want to displease him. And so this young man heard these words, and what did it do? It bolstered his courage to say, I'm going to stand firm and with conviction tell others that I'm a Christian, even in a Muslim world. And so when he went to his mandatory military service, he had a form to fill out and it said, ask what your religion is, and he put down Christian. And so he got to his base and they called him in. Said, what is this here that you say you're a Christian? He said, well, that's what I am. And that's what I need to say. And they questioned him more, interrogated him more, shamed him, and even beat him. But he refused to say he wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ because of these words. They gave him courage to say, as a young man, I am on the side of Christ. I stand with him. And I don't want to be on that day before him being one who rejected him. But you may be thinking about Peter. What about Peter? Peter didn't fare so well, did he? Think about it. Peter did deny Christ. That was true. But I would argue that Peter still had his greatest fear as the fear of denying Christ. In that moment when he had the slave girl ask him, aren't you one of them? His lesser fear took over. I don't know the man. Three times he did that. But what happens immediately after? He went out and wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. Why? Because he knew it was the lesser fear that took over. And he had a greater fear of denying Christ. But that's what happens to us, right? Jonathan Edwards wrote a book on that, actually, about how our desires work. The greatest fear at the time, the greatest desire at that moment is going to win the day. So that's why we bolster up this courage of God's word to be prepared for those times so that the lesser fear won't rule the day like it did with Peter. And then we see what happened as Peter bolstered, trusting Christ, and his courage increased, that we read about in Acts 2. And Peter was the one who stood boldly. When they told him to be quiet, don't say this, don't speak in his name anymore, he walked out and considered a privilege to be beaten for the name. Peter surely did fear the Lord more than man at that point. There are times that we stumble. But Jesus is telling us here, take courage. Remember, your greater fear is of God, not of man. And he's putting it in perspective for them to say, men really can't hurt you. At the end of the day, take courage. And really, he's bringing us to ask ourselves at a question like this when you're considering your uncle. What's the worst that he can do to me? So I talked to my uncle about Christ. I talked to my brother, or I talked to my sister, I talked to my father, I talked to my mother. What's the worst that can happen? They shun me as if I'm dead? They kill me. That's what Jesus is wanting to do, to disarm Satan, because in those moments, sometimes it's a fear that gets so big and paralyzing, it becomes bigger than it really is. Remember Martin Luther wrote a quote on that. I can't remember the exact quote, but it's like sometimes, or maybe it was Spurgeon. Anyway, he said, sometimes it's the buildup of the fear that's worse than the fear itself. So Jesus is reminding us here, remember, put into perspective this fear. What's the worst that man can do to you? You fear God more than man. Don't let that fear of man overtake you, but look to God and know that He's your Father. You don't want to displease Him, so press on. So thirdly, Jesus also gives them another word about the Father that should give them courage in times of fear, and that is that He's going to take care of you. The Father will take care of you, and we see this in verses 29 to 31. Notice what He tells them. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Notice what Jesus is saying there. It's a powerful argument, isn't it? It's a powerful argument that should give you courage in the midst of fear, because He reminds these apostles that remember who God is, that God is the one who created all creatures, all human beings, everything on the planet, every fish in the sea, and He's the one who provides for every single human being, animal, bird, fish, everything. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground without the Father's direct will plan. There's not a raindrop that falls except for its appointed place to hit on the ground. That boggles our minds as human beings, right? Because we're so finite, we're thinking, how in the world can God aim every raindrop? But He does. That's what Jesus is reminding him. And He feeds every sparrow every day. He feeds every fish. He feeds you. And listen, you are far more valuable than the sparrows. He's reminding them of who they are in God's eyes. And notice, they're valuable. He reminds them how much their Father loves them. Do you realize how much He loves you? You're more valuable to Him than a bunch of sparrows. And not only that, He's got every hair on your head numbered. It just boggles the mind, doesn't it? Every five pieces of hair you found in your bathtub today, they're numbered, and He's going to get more. He knows it. And Jesus is using it to tell them here, God loves you, and He will surely take care of you. So the worst that this person can do to you, the worst that your enemy can do to you, will not harm you if you're in His hand. Jesus is again intending to give them courage in the face of fear. He's telling them, do not fear. Why? Because your Father loves you and will take care of you. And the same applies for every one of you today as a follower of Jesus Christ. God loves you and takes care of you. And if God, it's meant to press this question on you. If God truly loves you and takes care of you, what can human beings do to you? Nothing outside of His plan and will. Jesus is appealing to God's love to give them courage in their biggest fears. And as God tells us in His Word in Romans chapter 8, if God is for you, who can be against you? He who didn't spare his only son but gave him up for you, how much more will he not give you all things that you need for life and godliness? Jesus is telling them, remember, you're in the Father's house. I brought you into the household. You belong to him. You're mine. You're now under this care of the Father. You have nothing else to fear. Every single hair on your head is numbered, so fear not. You're worth more than many sparrows. I don't know what your fears are today. Some of you may be having fears about talking with someone about Jesus Christ, or fears that you face as a follower of Christ. I don't know what it is, but one thing you need to hear today from these words of Jesus is do not fear. You belong to his household. He cares for you. He's going to overcome all obstacles with his gospel. He's going to overpower all your fears by his power, and he's going to take care of you. What can man do to you? Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would press these words into our hearts, not only now at this moment, Jesus, but in the days ahead when we face the real temptation and trials. Lord, you know what's ahead for every one of us in this room. And we ask you would press these truths into our hearts deeply, that we would have courage to press on as your people. Because, Lord Jesus, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.